Not many opportunities like this that you get in a lifetime. This is a very young season right now. A lot at stake on this football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Good morning. Welcome into the Blitz today. It is Thursday, July 11th, 10 a.m. sharp. Thank you for tuning into the program today. You can listen on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. We are moments away from streaming on Periscope on our Twitter, so you can go in and check that out. My name is Rick Butler, joined to my right by Chance Collins, joined to my left by Brandon Orrick, as always. Gentlemen, how are y'all doing?
Doing good, Rick.
Yeah?
We're over the hump. It's Thursday, almost Friday.
It's all downhill from here.
It's almost over. Doing good.
So this is going to be my last show of the week. So to me, it feels like a Friday.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and rub it in our face, Rick.
I will not be here tomorrow. Vacation starting.
You're one of those guys, huh?
What do you mean?
Whoa.
You gotta let everybody know that even though it's not Friday for everybody else, it's my Friday. Feels like a Friday to me.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. It feels good. Feels good.
What else feels good? Did you get any moving done yesterday?
I did. Did you see what I got done?
No, I didn't see. Did you post it or something?
I think he's asking me.
I definitely didn't see.
I wouldn't expect a chance to see the progress that I made.
Yeah,
I made great progress.
Did he not really make any progress? That's really why he's saying that he made great progress.
Not really. He got a desk in.
That's right.
So the desk, the infamous desk, is it even like very big?
I mean, it's decent size.
Did you get the mattress?
It's a double-decker desk.
And then he got. Looked like his Xbox was in there.
No, he's got the Xbox, huh?
Yep.
What's up with you Xbox kids? Nobody has a PS4 anymore? You guys don't... PlayStation's so much better.
Man, I had a PlayStation 4 for a long time right when I went to college. I switched. At the end of the day, when it comes to a video game console...
PlayStation 4 is better.
The best one is whatever your friends have. If you got no one to play with, it's not that... You know, games just aren't that fun. But when you got, 10 people... From various places to play with,
but like,
that console is the best.
Are you talking about like playing online against your friends, what they have? Because, I mean, your friends can come over and play whatever you have at your house. Because it's not like they're not going to bring their console to you.
That's true. You know,
And all the consoles, I mean, like as far as gameplay, it's just circle, square, X, triangle instead of, what, Y, X, B, A? I mean, so like, yeah, they're all the same.
Yeah. I mean, it's... Like, to me, like, I'm kind of used to the Xbox control at this point. But for the people that can't come over to your house, right, like, I have a bunch of high school friends. And, you know, we don't text each other all the time. We don't call each other all the time. But, you know, you jump on every once in a while and you play some video games.
A bunch of friends, like, that you went to high school with.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, you jump
on. It
just
came out wrong.
You know, you catch up through that medium. So, but I do like both.
So you moved the Xbox and a desk.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it?
I took another box over. It just had stuff. But I'll be honest. Like, that's pretty much... I took a ton of clothes.
How are you going to get the bed?
I feel like he said, I don't know.
I got to figure it out.
You don't have, like, a queen size. You got a full-size bed. I really feel like your full bed can fit in your... Your seats lay down, correct?
That is correct.
Your bed can fit in there. You said you've tried, but
I'm gonna try.
But dimensions, like, it really should fit in there. That's not me trying to be like, oh, Rick, you know your bed should fit in there. Like, it really should, because like a queen would be very tight, but a full size bed should definitely fit in the back of, because it's only like 20 inches across. So it should fit in your hatchback, no problem. Maybe just need a little help. Call it Paul Bain.
Need a little boost. So, anyways, I got that going for me, guys. Today is July 11th. It's 7-Eleven day.
There are no 7-Elevens close.
Yeah, there's not really any close here. They're in the closest ones would probably be like Florida. I'm guessing or Atlanta. The ones in Atlanta and Florida.
Let's see. Are there 7-Eleven near me?
I'm thinking Atlanta. Maybe Chat has one.
There's one in Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Oof. I was really hoping to go get myself
a
big gulp Slurpee today.
Slurp, slush, all the same thing.
Yeah, there's not really any close. There are none in Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama. Like I said, one in Kentucky.
Yeah.
So
you guys need some. If you were
hoping to get a free small Slurpee, you're out of luck. Unless you're listening somewhere else.
Is it like free small Slurpee day?
It's 7-Eleven.
Oh, so they do that. I know it's 7-Eleven, but like, do they give away the Slurpees?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, didn't know this. Don't frequent a lot of 7-Elevens, I guess.
Because there's not any around.
Because there's not any.
Well, we used to have them back in the day, way before you guys' time.
I grew up on... See, when I came here, like, Weigel's was a completely new... I'd never heard of a Weigel's before. I'd never heard of a lot of these places.
That's a...
Because they're only here.
Yes.
Right.
Correct.
I grew up with a 7-Eleven. Today was a...
You grew up with, like, the Circle K and stuff, right?
No, not even Circle K. We had Valero and 7-Eleven.
So, I have a question. So, if you... Let's say you live in a place that has 7-Elevens.
Yeah.
And there are... many 7-Elevens near you, like Weigel's here. What if...
Yes, you just go around all day and get free Slurpees. Yes, bro.
Is there any way
to... Okay. There's no way to catch you.
That is what you do.
I felt like I knew where you were going with that. There is no way for them to catch you.
All right, you know when you were a kid and your parents would send you off to like soccer practice or baseball practice and they gave you those big like jugs of water? You know what I'm talking about? Like the huge insulated water bottles.
Yeah.
That were just like abnormally big. That's what we would do. We would carry around those. We'd strap it to our back, hop on our bikes, just basically bike it the radius
is
that
it,
we could.
Is this you and your crew?
And just try to hit like, you know, 4 or 5 7-Elevens.
Rick Butler and the bike gang.
Absolutely. We didn't have much else to do. Like that was the fun thing to do.
Just riding around robbing 7-Eleven of all their inventory.
You take advantage,
Rick Butler and the crew,
of the things you can.
How many was in this crew? I could see it being like 10 to 12 of you little guys. Because you're, you know, I say little guys, you know, smaller guy.
Well, we were like 14 or so.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. We had I was lucky enough to have all my best friends in my neighborhood with me. And then we'd all get a job
together.
Look
at you. You get to all my best friends. All my best friends on the Xbox.
My dudes.
All the homies. Did any of your homies come to Tennessee with you?
No.
Nope. So they all went to like what, Texas A&M, Texas? Mainly Texas A&M.
Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Boomer Sooner, huh?
Oklahoma. Yeah, there was a lot of them. So here is what we have on the plate today. First and foremost, boom, recruiting violations come down on Jeremy Pruitt. How will he recover? Nah, it wasn't a big deal.
No.
It was not a big deal. But we'll let you know what that was. We have some cool what-if situations that came down from David Ubben about kind of, you know, just hypothetical situations that have happened in the last decade that are interesting, kind of interesting to just theorize about. Some NBA news. Some trades could be potentially happening with Andre Iguodala, with Russell Westbrook, a little bit on Kawhi Leonard's deal. Robot umpires might finally be hitting the diamond.
It's about time.
And much, much more. So that's what we got in store. You guys got anything else? Tease off the top?
Phil Steele.
Phil Steele has been. He's been working hard lately.
He's, you might say he's high on the Vols.
Just a little bit.
Something else that somebody might be high on the Vols on. We are putting our detective's hat on, and we here are doing our due diligence in figuring out if it is real or if it is not. There is a video that is circulating the World Wide Web right now. One Colin Cowherd speaking on the football season.
It's not real. I believe Billy.
I believe.
It's from a couple years ago.
I got to believe Bill.
I got to believe him. There's no way that Cowherd's that stupid.
He's not. Like, it makes no sense. It had to be from the Dobbs year. I'm sorry. I know you're probably saving that.
And we will figure out if it is real or if it is a fraud.
I'm going fraud.
Obviously, you can tell we think it's a fraud. Okay.
I thought they're for saying
that. It got a lot of people, though. It got you. It got me. It got Chance. It got us all. Billy.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Billy saved us.
What if it got us? I came in, and you guys told me about it, and I was like, there's no way. He's got to be trolling. And Rick looked at me like I said something in Russian.
Well,
what? Trolling?
I mean, it wasn't a troll. It was people trolling on his behalf. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Man, I'll tell you what, I got hit by it. I thought that was real.
I'm sure there are a lot of people today who got hit by that.
Big Josh says Greer, South Carolina. That's one of Big Josh's truck stops. Big Josh, you get you a Slurpee today.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Get you a Slurpee today.
Tyler,
Big Josh.
Get you a cherry Coke Slurpee.
Tyler White also said you can verify one, just came back. I'm sure he was doing a little gambling in Tunica. There's one in Tunica, so Mississippi. Did you say there were none in Georgia? I thought I'd seen some in Atlanta before.
According to 7-Eleven's official website, there are none.
Maybe I was just thinking when I was in. I know there's for sure some in Tallahassee. Stopped at some 7-Elevens. Maybe that's where it was at. Interesting.
So we will.
I could go for a nice Slurpee right now.
Yeah, man, I could too. I've been
flavor?
Thinking about that all day. Cherry Coke.
No.
Unless.
They got Mountain Dew?
No. Unless it's like.
Dr. Pepper?
Well, yeah, sometimes you can mix in the Dr. Pepper. My absolute favorite, the undeniable gold medalist.
Blue? Raspberry?
Is when you go to the movie theater and they have the infamous, the rare white cherry. The what? White cherry Slurpees are just on a different plane of existence.
What's this wizardry you speak of, this sorcery, white cherry?
It's at the movie theaters. I don't know which one. I don't know where.
Is this at the movie theater where you like do your thing yet? Are you still doing Are you still doing your thing at that movie theater?
Am I still walking in blindly? No. Because and maybe it was because you guys forced me to reveal my secret. All right.
So they figured out that people were just walking in the theater?
They might have figured it out. I went there to go see the new Avengers movie. And
you tried to do the old walkthrough?
Well, no, they were just, you know, looking at tickets right there by the entrances. Now, also, Avengers Endgame, biggest movie on the planet, basically ever. All right, so every movie theater ever was showing 10 to 20 showings of it a day, and everybody and their grandmother were going to see it. So maybe it was just because of the magnitude of the movie. However, I do think they put some ticketing stations in.
Interesting. The plot thickens.
Billy, who cracked the case on Colin Cowherd, says, I used to work at the movies, and the white wild cherry slushy.
Wild cherry. You forgot the wild part. Get. Oh, Bill Wilford. BYOP.
Bill. He's over there getting ready for the golf course today. reminiscing on his white wild cherry Slurpees. We will.
Never had one.
Chance, you got to do it. You got
to
do it.
You don't even know where to tell me to get one.
I'll figure out where Billy worked. And then we will go there. I'll go with you because I want one for myself. If you would like to give us a call, talk Slurpees, talk Tennessee football, whatever it is that you want, go ahead and give us a call at 865-546-8200.
I kind of want to talk Slurpees.
Yeah, maybe towards the end of the show, our best Slurpee rankings.
Maybe so.
Although I only have two. Cherry Coke, white cherry.
I've got many.
That's it. Gonna catch a quick break, and then we will get into Tennessee football. So don't go anywhere. You are listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. Back here on The Blitz, 10:19 a.m. Before we jump into our Tennessee football conversation for the day, we will do what we always do here in the second segment of the day and look at the opening drive. Oops.
It's a very long pause.
First down.
He's buffering.
Well, no, I was the sound went off. Brandon looked at me. I had to look back.
And then your computer went off again too. That's
what it was. First down. The Atlantic League All-Star Game.
What?
Yeah, hear me out. Hear me out. Stick with me.
What? The Atlantic League.
The Atlantic League All-Star Game became the
first
American Professional Baseball League to let a computer call balls and strikes on Wednesday during its game.
Minor league baseball.
Yeah, it's an independent league, right? However, it is the first game in America to use this system. Now, the MLB is definitely looking at this, and, you know, I assume that some of the kinks are going to get worked out in various independent leagues around the country, and then once it gets into a good enough place and a healthy enough place, the minor leagues will adopt that. And then once it gets absolutely perfected, then I really do believe that we will see the Major League Baseball adopt the robot umpire within the next 10 years.
I agree with you. They've been talking about it for quite some time, Brandon. Hear Rick out. I actually do. I agree with him. And look.
No, I'm not disagreeing that it will happen. I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't like it.
I love it.
I actually love it, too. And this is coming from a person who loves baseball. So, you think, you know, baseball purists, traditionalists, you know, for the most part, yeah. But at the same time, why are we using, you know, an umpire behind the plate when we could potentially – they already got that strike cam. You could potentially get it scientific down to the point, you know, the angle, everything. And there would be no guessing. You'd have a consistent strike zone. You'd limit the amount of risk for an umpire to get injured back there. We've seen that happen where umpires get injured. It may happen far in between, but still it does happen. And you get a consistent game and be likely no errors. And I really only think you'd really need umpires in the field. Like, you really don't need an umpire at the plate anymore. With all the technology that we have,
yeah.
I welcome it.
So, to me, and it, I didn't expect maybe 4 or 5 years ago to have this opinion, right? Because I've always kind of believed that baseball is a game of...
Don't change it.
You know, bang, bang plays, right? Hey, what happens, happens, and that's the beauty of baseball. You know, the tie goes to the runner. However, you know, there's no replay system, so it's just a judgment call. And sometimes it's in your favor. Sometimes it makes you want to pull your hair out. Then baseball introduced replay. They made it much safer at the plate for collisions between catchers and base runners. They have changed a lot of the rules of baseball that did keep those bang bang plays in play. So now I'm actually okay with this. So there's still a lot to it. And again, I really believe that we are still years and years and years away from seeing this with your favorite respective professional baseball team. But yesterday was the first game. They still had an umpire behind the plate. The umpire had all the ability in the world to override the call. You know, if something glitched in the system, if there was a bug to where it was, you know, 2 feet out of the strike zone and it called it a strike. Or there was an instance yesterday where the ball skipped across the plate. It hit the dirt first, bounced up. The robot system called it a strike. However, it was obviously not. So we're still very far away from this, but I do believe that this is a step in the direction of robot umpires, whether you like it or not.
Measure it twice, cut it once. I'm all for non-error, as Jalen Rose would say.
Second down. Tennessee transfer DJ Burns has announced where he will be going. He is officially stepping out of the transfer portal after being in there for 10 days. He is headed to Winthrop. That's pretty much all I got. He's a Winthrop Eagle now. I don't really know him.
He no longer plays for us. He's off the roster. Third down.
Good for him.
Good riddance.
Good for him.
Maybe gets some. He's going back home.
Yeah, he goes home.
So maybe it was more about maybe got homesick, adjusting to the college life. Didn't get to come in here and play his first year. Maybe a little disappointed or something. I hope the kid does well. Yada, yada, yada.
So this is something that came out crazy.
Third down.
But VFL and former Tennessee Titans defensive tackle Albert Haynesworth, only 38 years old, posted on Instagram yesterday, and it kind of made its way around Twitter, that he is in, quote, dire need of a kidney transplant.
Yeah, definitely file this under the things that we hate to see. I mean, no jokes about it at all. I saw this last night while I was at work in my second job. And I mean, yeah, like Haynesworth, he's in the hospital bed. You can tell he's lost a lot of weight. He's talking about he's kidney failure down to one kidney. And he's asking for anybody who wants to, if you're on a donor list, if you want to reach out and you think that maybe you want to donate a kidney to this man. He actually, like you say, he's in dire need. I saw it first on his Instagram because I follow him, and then it started making its round nationally. It was on the bottom line at ESPN. So definitely our thoughts and prayers out to Albert Haynesworth and his family. And hopefully, man, he finds a kidney really fast. You got to thank Volunteer State. The things that we can do, we've seen in the past, whether it be the fires in Gatlinburg or just, you know, the volunteer spirit. I feel like somebody's going to reach out and they're going to find him a kidney fast.
Yeah, absolutely. He says in the Instagram post, first with the brain aneurysm 3 seasons out of the NFL, and now my kidney's failing me. But the bright side of the latest ordeal is that I can ask for help by asking for someone to generously donate a kidney. If you're interested in giving this precious gift, please call Vanderbilt at 615-936-0695 and hit option 2.
One more time, Rick. Read it one more time, the number.
You can call Vanderbilt at 615-936-0695. Make sure you hit option 2. So, man, that's a sad thing that we have to report today, but, man, you know, I with the amount of rounds chance, like you're saying, that it has been taking over the web, you know, we really hope that someone pulls through for our good buddy Albert Haynesworth.
Big Al, we're thinking about you.
All right, fourth down. The ESPYs were last night. Do you guys have any interest in the ESPYs at all?
I used to.
Me too.
I did. Like,
that was a big thing.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because, you know, there's it's something that happens every year, and we've kind of lost interest over the years. But it used to be appointment television for me. I remember, like, even being a kid in high school and, you know, on through college, and, you know, probably even going back 6 years. ESPYs are coming on. I'm sitting around somewhere watching it. You know, I want to see who wins the Jimmy V, you know, who's the Jimmy V honoree that year. And I want to see, you know, the best play, best sports moment, all that things. But also somewhat, the ESPYs got a little politicized, so I think that turned some people away too, especially when they went Caitlyn Jenner as like hero of the year maybe like 4 years ago. I think that's when people, the majority of folks,
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that, you know, and this kind of, you know, been a knock on, you know, and I love ESPN. I'll, you know, SportsCenter all the time. But, you know, that's kind of been one of the knocks on them is that, you know, they kind of moved away from just your basic sports, you know, and they, but, you know, there also is a sense of, hey, if these people do have this kind of platform and this is the way they want to use it,
yeah,
then all power
absolutely.
To it.
Like, so, no, I'm not taking away from anybody, you know, speaking their mind, using their platform for positivity and to, you know, to create a voice for others who don't have a voice. Not at all. But I think a majority of people stopped following it when those things came into play.
So, best college athlete? Zion Williamson.
No doubt about it.
I'll go through some of the good ones.
Some of the notable ones.
Best record-breaking performance, Drew Brees. All-time passing yards record against the Redskins in a Monday Night Football.
I remember that.
Best female athlete, one Alex Morgan from the United States Women's National Team. Best play. What an upset. This is the deserving one. Caitlin Ohashi's perfect 10. Have you guys ever seen this video? This is a gymnast from UCLA.
What did she do? No, I've never seen it.
It is incredible.
Excuse me for my ignorance. You have to show me during the break.
It is absolutely mind-blowing.
Maybe tweet it out for all your followers.
It's a good idea. Best male athlete, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
Best team is the United States Women's National Team.
Best college team, the Clemson Tigers. Did they make the list?
I'm trying to find best college team. It might be here at the bottom.
Could be Virginia, too. Getting knocked out the year before, coming back this year to win it.
Yeah.
Getting knocked out by the 16th seed.
I wish we had done predictions on this, man. I didn't even know it was yesterday until I got home at
like midnight.
It kind
of sneaks up on you these days. It kind of sneaks up on you a little bit, Rick.
The Arthur Ashe Award for Courage, Bill Russell.
Nice.
Kobe introduced him. Okay, here we go. So, best NFL player, Patty Mahomes. MLB, Christian Yelich. NHL, Ovechkin.
Ovi.
NBA player, Antetokounmpo. Best boxer is Alvarez. Best fighter is Cormier. And they actually do not have a best college athlete team.
Well, I thought they had a best team or something like that.
Best esports moment?
A little bias. Best esports moment, was that when the girl got drafted? Or no,
this was O'Leary returns to NBA 2K. Last but not least, best WWE moment. Yes, that is a category now. Roman Reigns returns to Raw after defeating leukemia. It's a great moment.
Well, I can't even make a joke about wrestling now.
I know.
Look how you set me
Nobody
up there.
Nobody can.
I almost went
That's
in.
That's why they brought
almost,
it to the ESPYs.
I almost went in.
That's why they brought it to the ESPYs.
And made a joke about wrestling.
They knew.
But then
that
I would have been making a joke about leukemia.
Yeah.
And I would have looked like the
That's
ass.
That's why they did it that year. It was the perfect timing. That's the ESPYs. I'm kind of with you, though. Like, this used to be a huge deal. Now I didn't even know it was coming on. So that right there is your opening drive. I'll be honest with you guys. Kind of forgot the opening drive was coming up.
Well,
so
please always last, be honest.
How do you forget that it's coming up?
I
we
just,
do it the same
every
time
day.
Every day.
I just forget.
Every day.
I was
Second
very
segment.
Excited to talk Tennessee football. So at the end of the first segment, I said up next we got Tennessee football. I lied to our audience. I'm sorry.
Well, really up next we got Tennessee football then, right?
There you go. Up next, getting into these Jeremy Pruitt recruiting violations. Get into Phil Steele on Tennessee. We'll see how much we can get into it because we will break it all down.
I like to really get
like
into it.
Like D-Generation X. Coming up next on The Blitz. Don't go anywhere. We'll see you there. Welcome back to The Blitz. About to get into some Tennessee football. If you would like to join the program today with myself, Brandon, and Chance, go ahead and give us a call on the Fan Run phone lines. That is 865-546-8200. So we mentioned this at the beginning of the show and kind of overplayed it, oversold it a little bit. However, the truth is still there. Jeremy Pruitt commits a NCAA violation. However, it was done in the most weird and innocent way possible. I mean, let it be known right off the top that this is nothing. This is nothing that should have an impact on Tennessee moving forward. This is not a big deal at all. If you haven't heard this story, you will agree with me in just a second. So, a couple weeks ago, I believe it was, within the first couple of months, 2019, Jeremy Pruitt's alma mater high school, Plainview High School in Alabama, won their basketball team, won their second of the back-to-back state championships in basketball. Sure, Jeremy Pruitt loves his high school. I'm sure if any of our high schools won a state championship, even though we're not there, we're excited for him. We're excited for the community. We know a lot about the community. So Jeremy Pruitt tweets out, "Congratulations, Robbie Coker in Plainview High School on back-to-back state championships. Hashtag too much blue. Hashtag PLV." So he tweets out his former high school, but as NCAA bylaw 11.3.2.8 states.
Oh, the 11.3.2.8.
The 11.3.2.8 will get you every time. I don't know why coaches don't watch out for the 11.3.2.8.
Been getting people for years, Rick.
That's what we tell them. You got to watch out for it. The bylaws will get you, especially the ones that go into four digits. So that states that an athletic department staff member shall not promote or endorse a prospective student athlete's team or coach or an athletic facility that is primarily used by student athletes. So, I don't know. What is your guys'...
It's a stupid rule by the stupid NCAA.
Yeah, there you go. It had nothing to do with football.
Brandon.
It had nothing to do with a player.
Congratulated the coach of the basketball team of his former high school.
Yes. For back-to-back state championships.
Big deal. Get over it, NCAA.
This USA Today article says a Tennessee compliance department staff member saw the tweet and notified Pruitt and a football staff member responsible for social media that the tweet was an impermissible endorsement of a high school team and its coach. The tweet was deleted 37 minutes after it was posted. It's kind of a weird world that the NCAA has created where if you are a figure such as Jeremy Pruitt is, you can't even congratulate your alma mater high school. And I get it, right? I get all the tampering things, and there's so many different tampering things. And maybe there's a five-star on Plainville High School's team. However, I don't think there is. And so he is now not allowed to take part in this, right? To congratulate his alma mater. But anyways, the NCAA comes down. I believe that this was just a level 3 violation, which is just a minor one.
Yeah, it's the lowest you can get.
So do you guys see anything into this at all? Besides
no.
It just being a stupid, unfortunate accident?
No, I mean, you have to report it. No big deal.
But even if there was a 5-star there or a 4-star there, I say it's worth the violation. It's not a bad violation.
Yeah, I kind of.
I mean, if you're like if you're just trying to, you know, I did it. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that, which you probably did, just didn't care. But yeah, why not? If there is a 4-star or 5-star kid there, a little level 3 violation, little what we call Rick. Little slap on What? The wrist.
A little slap on the wrist.
Little. Stop that.
Yeah, Pruitt didn't care. Tennessee's football program was responsible for 3 violations in the first 6 months of 2019. Committing 1 violation apiece for swimming, men's tennis, men's track and field, softball, rowing, and soccer.
Mm. It's a bunch of offenders out here. Tennessee sports.
A bunch of criminals.
Swimming.
Tennessee athletic department.
What do you get a violation in swimming for? Very interested to
maybe
know.
Maybe the coach tweeted their former alma mater.
Really?
Maybe
really
their swimming team won a championship.
Really wanting to know what kind of you know things are going on in the dark shadows of collegiate swimming.
Yeah.
Do you have a bag man in swimming? Can you have a bag man, Brandon? What do you think? What kind of dark dealings in the alley do we have for the swim team going on?
Who knows?
Maybe.
Who knows?
There is like a Speedo scandal going on somewhere in the underdwellings of men's swimming.
Well, impermissible benefits.
Yeah.
Maybe getting some Speedo wear. Not
wow. Wow.
From the local Speedo distributor.
Look, this could be a big conspiracy that we are starting to crack here. The Speedo controversy that could be going on in swimming. Also, we have absolutely zero evidence about it. So don't take our word for it.
Yes.
All confidence, no intelligence. So that right there is the recruiting violation. Chance said it best, the slap on the wrist that it ultimately was for Pruitt. Nothing to see here. So, Brandon, before we get into the break here, you said that Phil Steele had some kind words about Tennessee.
Yeah, he's high on the Vols, and most people probably know Phil Steele from the magazine that he puts out every year. Very thorough.
You like Phil Steele? Is that your favorite one?
I mean,
over the years, it's always been.
I usually go out and buy it. That's one that I usually get.
It's always been Phil Steele for me. Like I remember, like you know, even like you know, from high school on, Phil Steele. You know, the black and white pages in there too. And then now he's it's all color now. But I remember back in the day, a lot of that too, and like the soft paper, like a newspaper. But I got Athlon this year, and it disappointed me.
Yeah, I'll probably get Phil Steele at some point, but like I said, very thorough, almost too much information sometimes.
I think that's why I like it. Like, there's so much information.
But yeah, so like I said, very thorough. I mean, the guy knows what he's talking about. But yeah, he went on a Nashville radio show yesterday, and thinking 8-9 wins for the Vols.
No!
Whoa!
What'd you say?
8 or 9 wins.
Wow. So
for the Vols.
The FPI rankings come out. Has Tennessee with above a 50% chance to win 9 games. Phil Steele comes out. Says that Tennessee could win 8 to 9 games. We have a fake Colin Cowherd video circulating the internet that is just getting people all sorts of riled up because Colin Cowherd says that Tennessee could go to the playoffs. And we have this S&P Plus system, which who knows what that is. That's one of the most confusing things in this conversation. Also has Tennessee as a top 25.
No!
It's that time of year again, fellas. It is that time of year.
If they don't win 8 to 9 games with all these people saying they're going to win 8 to 9 games, they will burn it down. They will burn it down.
This is the issue we get ourselves in. The whole first part of the offseason, everyone was cool, calm, and collected. 6 to 7 wins. Now, expectations have skyrocketed. We will be back in just a minute for the last segment of Hour 1. We'll keep talking about this stuff. You're listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio.
Voice. Yeah. Hold on.
final segment of hour number one here on the Blitz. And we take you straight over to the Fan Run phone lines. We get a call from the mayor, Phil. How you doing?
What do you say, Rick?
Man, not much. How are you on this Thursday morning?
No, wonderful. How's Tanson Brandon doing?
Doing great, Phil. Good to hear from the mayor of South Knoxville, as always.
Doing pretty good, Phil.
Well, good. Did Brandon say something that Phil Steele said that Tennessee would win 8 or 9 games? I saw, I heard him on another show. I think he said they were going to be favored in 8 or 9 games. But if I was a betting man, I'd say they'll win 6 or 7 games.
You think so? That's kind of where I'm at, Phil. I've said that, you know, I can see the 7-5 this year very easily, and I think 8-4, if you get to that, that's like a 9-win season for you. Like, you treat that as a really good leap for Jeremy Pruitt. Not really good, but a considerable leap from the 4-8, 5-7 to go 8-4. That'd be nice. Yeah, I don't see ESPN saying that they could win 9 games. Phil Steele, like you say, a favorite in 8-9 games. Or if he said, you know, they could take 8-9 wins.
He said both, actually.
Yeah, he said both. Okay.
Here's what he said. And I don't know how much he believes. Part of me feels like Phil Steele, whenever he goes on these radio shows in different towns, he kind of hypes up the team.
Yeah, whatever region he's in.
Yeah. So,
sell subscriptions.
But here's what he said. He said, when you look at the schedule this year, Tennessee probably figures to be favored in as many as 8 games. So I'm not just calling for 6 wins in a bowl. They were my 7th most improved team in the country. I think they have the potential to get to 8, potentially to 9 wins this year.
Well, isn't Tennessee the 2nd most experienced team in the SEC? Of course, I don't think that means much. Devoid of talent as this roster's been.
I know they're up there. I don't know as far as, like, you know, first, second experienced team in the league. I know they, as far as
I know, they return a lot of guys.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I know that they are up there. They're one of the top 3, but I'm not sure if it was the 2nd best.
Yeah, but they're so green in the offensive line, defensive line.
Where you need to have
in the trenches, yeah.
Where you either need to have a lot of 5-star young talent coming in, or you need some veteran guys in the trenches to help you out.
Old Schoolcamp, if he wins 8 or 9 games, he should be SEC Coach of the Year.
I think without a doubt.
Yeah.
If he were to win 8 to 9 games, I think that lines him up without a doubt, Phil. You know, you talk about a program that was, you know, 4-8 before he got here, 5-7 last year, and his guys kind of giving up on him late in the season. If he can turn around 8 to 9 wins this year, especially, I don't see who else you give it to. I mean, Saban can win it every year, but I think he would line himself up, because that would look like, on paper, a rejuvenation of Tennessee's football program.
We're back to respectability anyway.
Yeah, exactly. At least get back to respectability. At least be back in the national conversation. You finish with 9 wins. I mean, you might be top. You're probably going to be top 25 at the end of the year.
Yeah, Bruce Jones won a national championship when he won 9 games.
You would have thought.
Guys, I see where Springer's wearing his top 5 now. So that's interesting to see what's going to happen there.
Yeah, we were in there with Florida, Memphis, Michigan, and North Carolina.
And.
So,
and he is a Florida guy, right? That's where he lives.
Well, that's where he's at now, but he's home base is out of Charlotte, North Carolina, and he did live in Antioch, Tennessee for 2 years when he was younger.
Antioch, so,
that. Bring
which is near Nashville in that case.
Oh yeah, it is Antioch. You know, that's South Nashville area. So yeah, like my sister lives over on that side of town. It's going towards, you know, Bell Road and all that. Yeah. Got some nice talent.
They
got to
get Keon Johnson, though. My guy's a phenomenal player.
Yeah, man, you gotta pull in some big fish. You got to pull in some big fish for sure. And especially because a lot of these guys, like a Springer, right? If you miss on him, maybe he goes to Florida, right? You hate to see him not go to your team, but you hate even more to see him go to a strong rival, a Florida, a Kentucky.
I'd rather see him go to North Carolina. I don't want him to go to Memphis or Florida.
I totally agree. If he's not coming to Tennessee, send him to the ACC. They'll be fine.
But I understand his crew's not very happy that North Carolina's not making him a real priority. So, of course, North Carolina can pick and choose who they want. They're like Kentucky and Duke, right, and, you know, the Kansas. They pretty much do what they want to do.
Yeah, and they might not. You know, North Carolina kind of feels like the program that, you know, even if they don't, you know, recruit you the hardest, You're still going to be in the North Carolina program. You're still going to get all the benefits of playing for North Carolina. You're still going to get good playing time. It just means that, you know, maybe they're focused a little more elsewhere during the offseason. But it's, I don't know how much that means to a high school kid.
Well, I get off here, but I want to hear Chance talk about Willie Taggart. See.
No, Phil. Wow. On a Thursday. Hey, you want me to talk about Taggart? He's got to win. Like, he's in the same boat as a lot of their coaches. He's got a little bit more pressure on him. He's at Florida State. They want to see some change soon. He hadn't been to a bowl game in two seasons in a row. And the way they looked last year. But I still go back to people really don't know how bad Jimbo left that program as far as he wasn't recruiting any offensive line. And he missed on so many guys. Worst offensive line in, like, three years running, like, straight. So, Taggart's got Kendall Browse now, a guy that Jeremy Pruitt apparently behind closed doors, rumor has it, called a moron.
Dude, but I wanted Kendall Browse so bad. I was all aboard the Kendall Browse train. Although, it ended up working out pretty well for Tennessee.
Yeah, big Jim Chaney, you like him. He's familiar with the SEC. He's dominated the SEC for a while as far as offensive play calling goes. So, yeah.
I forgot how crazy that offensive coordinator search was.
Yeah.
Do you remember in the meeting, didn't Pruitt ask to see his playbook, and he didn't have a playbook, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
With Kendall Browse?
Uh-huh. That's what the rumor is.
And the thing about it is that, like, not even the craziest coaching search to happen lately.
Where's
like,
your playbook?
Had we not had the head coaching thing, like, that should have been huge. But it was just like, yeah, it's Tennessee. It is what it is.
You got your daddy's playbook?
We can't hire your daddy, but if you got his playbook, we'll consider you for the job.
Kendall's like, nah, it's all up here, bro.
Yeah. Jeremy Pruitt's like, what? Bro? Hour number two coming up here momentarily. We will get back into some of these Tennessee expectations. They are skyrocketing lately. Do we need to tame those expectations, or do we roll with it?
Reel it back in. Keep your cup on, people. Keep your cup on.
We'll find out soon. Hour number two of the Blitz coming up.